The Lord be with you.
And also with
you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord.
When Jesus went into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others Elijah, still other Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." He said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter said in reply, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus said to him in reply, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my heavenly Father. And so I say to you, you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. And the gates of the netherworld shall not prevail against it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." The Gospel of the Lord. It's very rare that the solemnity of the resurrection of Christ, which we celebrate Sunday after Sunday, is superseded by a saint's day. But we have some pretty remarkable saints today. I would suggest that they might be a whole lot like us. Let's see if I can bear that out. So Peter and Paul, a whole lot like us. If you're confused and lost, this feast is for you. If you think you know everything and you're so sure of yourself, but you have found out later that you were headed in the wrong direction, this feast is for you. If you are filled with an energy but don't know exactly what to do with it, this feast is for you. I'm suggesting that we have in Peter and Paul a wonderful example of the early church, but basically at polar opposites to each other. We have Peter representing the institutional church, wanting to keep everything kind of on the straight and narrow. Everything smoothly going along. Jews will become Christians. It'll be okay. And then we have Paul saying, well, everyone can become Christian. Everyone. Even Greeks and Gentiles. Remember, we have Paul saying, in Christ there is no male or female, Jew or Greek, slave or free. He's like way too inclusive for Peter. And yet, in this feast, we celebrate both of them because they are both necessary to keep our church together. But I would suggest that each of us might need to stretch a little to capture some of their willingness to be workers in God's kingdom. Now, we know a little bit about their lives, right? Where was Paul born? Anyone in the side chapel? Tarsus, right? What was his name before he became Paul?
Saul.
Okay, good. And what was he doing when the Lord found him on the way to Damascus? Persecuting, ready to persecute Christians, right? And we have this bright, shining light kind of yell at him, right? "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" And being trained as a Pharisee, kind of like a lawyer, he said, "Who are you that I might answer correctly?" That's in the text. It's great. Right? Paul is like, I'm not going to go out on a limb here. I need to know exactly how to answer this question because I think I'm in serious trouble. I think I need to call my lawyer. But what happens is that he heads off after that encounter with the living Lord in an entirely different direction. Because what the bright, shining light around him says is that I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom you are persecuting. Now, wait a minute. I had someone tell me after the morning mass that Paul was one of the 12 apostles. Bad answer. Okay? Not one of the 12. Maybe the 13th apostle added sometime later, but the only way he met Jesus was in this bright, shining light. And then in the time of prayer that he spent when he was founding the churches. So Paul has got to be curious at this point, because he's never met Christ. How could he be persecuting him? Unless, as he starts to understand that the body of Christ, right, is made up of all the members. And when one member is attacked, all the members are attacked. When one member is persecuted, Christ himself is persecuted. Which should make us really nervous. Because of all that backstabbing, backbiting, gossiping that we do to one another, we're kind of doing that to Christ himself. There's really not a lot of room in the scripture to read it any other way. So, caution. Right? Paul is going to teach that again and again, that we are the body of Christ. And we can't say to one of our members, I don't need you. But I would suggest that our church is doing just that. Not institutionally throwing out parts of itself, but as the membership, we go, you know those conservative people way over there on the, whatever it is, right or left? I don't know. Right? They're not part of us. They can go celebrate the Mass in Latin. Have you heard that said? I've heard that said. People have asked me to celebrate the Mass in Latin. I said, I don't speak Latin. And when you and I can speak Latin, maybe we could celebrate it. Or those people way on the other end, you know, kind of looking at the writings of Paul and saying, you know, women should be ministers in the church. Paul had lots of co-workers in the vineyard who were female. And that makes us all like, ah, the church is ending. No, the church will survive. Because the church is bigger, thankfully, than its members. Because if it was limited to us, we would have screwed it up a long time ago. Well, think about it. Peter says to Jesus, you are the Son of God. You are the Christ, the Messiah, the one who is to come. And Jesus, in the next verse of today's gospel, says, yes, and I have to head to Jerusalem to die and rise. And Peter says, no. That's not going to work. We've got a much longer merchandising scheme going on, right? You can't die before we get the dolls from China. Peter had a very different image of what God's ministry to the world was going to be. And dying in Jerusalem in a couple months was no part of it. And so what does Jesus say to Peter? He calls him a really beloved name, right? Get behind me, Satan. This is the founder, the first bishop of Rome. First bishop of the church. Okay, we can all work with this, right? There's hope for each of us if we can be called Satan in one line and go on to lead the church. That's because it's bigger than us, and we've got to remember that. Peter also goes on to deny Jesus 3 times. Not so helpful, right? I'm going to die with you, Lord. I don't know him. What are you talking about? I'm not from Galilee. I've got an accent. It's cold. I've got a cold. Right? He's shrinking away from the very zeal that he had. And so there's hope for us as well. Because if you're confused and sometimes feel a little soft in your faith, this feast is for you. God works with our weaknesses. God works in our brokenness and brings about a greater unity if we are open to it. If we are not open to it, if we have hard hearts, well, then we're pretty much going to hell. Because hard-hearted people go to hell. That's the only way to get in. That's the key to getting into hell. How many people want a hard heart? Don't raise your hands. Nobody wants a hard heart, but I think they become hardened over time because we don't keep them lubricated with the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Our God wants to spread the net so wide that everyone is welcome to the kingdom. And we all, as we heard in the opening prayer, have a reservation. It says we have a reservation in heaven. I'm like, this is fantastic. I'm ready. And then we're stuck here with all of you. Right? We're stuck with each other, but this is where we work out that salvation. We work it out when we can love as God loved us. Then we are doing what Peter and Paul have taught us to do. But they did it in very different ways. Right? Paul's a real winner. He was at the stoning of Stephen, it says so nicely in the Acts of the Apostles. It's probably a little stronger than that. Like maybe he was throwing some rocks himself. Right? He did not like Christians because they were blasphemers, which was almost the worst sin you could do. You were claiming that this ordinary human being, Jesus, of like Nazareth, right, was God. Huge problem for the Jewish people. Huge, right? There was one God, Yahweh. They were surrounded by all kinds of idol worshippers, and they wanted nothing to do with someone who picks up another idol, not even a dead idol, but a living person, Jesus. Come on now. All of you Christians have got to go. And Paul was really, well, kind of hell-bent on that. He was headed in the wrong direction. And God says, excuse me, I need your help. And, well, he wasn't really well accepted. After his conversion, you see he doesn't have a whole lot of ministry in Palestine. He visits there once in a while, but basically they send him to Tarsus for a cooling off period. We know you're pretty zealous about it. We're really excited. Now go away. Right? Go learn something else. And Barnabas, being his advocate, brings him back to Antioch, and this is where he starts his ministry. And Christians, right, were first called Christians there in Antioch with Paul and Barnabas, teaching about this Lord and Savior, this God become human flesh that would set us free of our sinfulness. Now, what is that? Our sinfulness is any time we say to another, I don't know you. I don't love you. I don't want you part of my life. Go away. I'm sure we've never said that to anyone. Hang up on the telemarketer. Click. It's hard. But Jesus, sorry, I don't need any spandex. Click. Right? Whatever you're selling, I don't need it. But if we treat another human being as less than human, we've attacked the body of Christ and torn apart its members. And, well, it's hard to love as God loves. But that's why he keeps sending us more witnesses. And we can't get off the hook. It is every one of our jobs. Just because, oh, Lord, Lord, I'm too sinful, get away from me. Right? Peter says this in the boat after the big catch of fish. And the Lord says, okay, you're off the hook. I'll pick up another apostle. No. He calls him specifically because he's broken and sinful. Because when you look and realize that you're broken and sinful, you're open to the working of the Holy Spirit. When I proclaim myself free of sin, maybe that's when I blaspheme. Right, that's when my hard heart starts hardening a little more. That's when I step down towards hell and say, I am without sin. Well, come on. Right? Romans 8, we've all fallen short of the glory of God. We have all sinned. We are all less than what God desires us to be. And yet God sees us as he desires us. He wants us to grow into this magnificent image of the Creator who loves so much that no one is excluded. Now, how do we do this? Well, it's not easy. But I would suggest that the key to it is remaining open to the Holy Spirit. And sometimes it'll seem like we're in a dream. Peter wanders out of prison in the first reading, kind of like, oh, this is a nice dream. You know, I might as well have a nice dream about escaping prison before I get my head chopped off. And he's actually out. We've had those experiences of God setting us free of certain peril. Sometimes it's certain peril in a decision we're about to make. And sometimes it's certain peril about a car accident that didn't take our life. But our God watches over us carefully and never leaves any one of our lives untended. But I would suggest we need to remain open to the Holy Spirit working in us. We have Paul at the end of his life saying, I've run the race. I'm here, Lord. I'm ready to go. Well, you've got about 8 more letters to write. Right? He's in prison in Rome for 2 years. And so he writes to the communities that he left behind. And that's where we have our New Testament. He wrote 13 of the 27 books of the New Testament. That's like about half. 27 is really hard to divide in half. So, right? And do we know anything about him? What was his profession other than evangelist? How did he pay for his room and board? A tent maker? Is that what everyone was saying? Tent maker? Yes. Paul was a tent maker, right? So he worked with REI. You could see the little geodesic dome, dome tents. That would be great. I'm sure Paul had great ideas about how to make tents, surviving, you know, having been shipwrecked how many times? Yeah, he had a pretty rough ministry. And the best part about Paul is he's stoned to death and thrown out of the city for dead. And then what happens? Just like Peter, his assembly was praying for him. Right? Peter's in chains, in prison, and they're praying for his release. They go out, pray around Paul, thrown out of the city, good for dead, and he comes back to life. Not only comes back to life, but he heads right back into the city that just stoned him and starts preaching again. Because he says, you guys all need the gospel of love. Now, I know you, you got really excited and kind of a stoning just happened, but, you know, let's not go there. Let's preach a gospel of love. But it was so different than the community he was preaching to. I hope it's not so different to us that we don't recognize ourselves in that membership. Right? I think we throw stones far too often as church leaders, as church members, right? All those people who aren't here today, you know, they were on the cruise ship and you knew they were Catholic and they're not here. Right to hell, I'm sure. Let's not throw stones. They're probably worshiping out in the valley. On their way back from the glacier, they stopped at St. Paul's. You know, you never know. We have to be so very careful to not judge harshly those around us, because the same mercy we show to them will be shown to us. The same forgiveness, it says right at the end of today's gospel, what you hold bound on earth will be bound in heaven. I hope everyone holds me harmless, right? And I hope I hold everyone else that's harmed me harmless as well, because I would hate to think that their entryway into heaven was prevented by my smallness of heart, by my hardness of heart, by my inability to be as my Savior is, the very act of forgiveness from the cross. Now, if Jesus can forgive people who have tortured him and crucified him, then so can I. Because it wasn't any easier for him to forgive as it is for us. You can say he doesn't say, I forgive you, right? I'm on you with this, Jesus, right? Lord, help them. Forgive them, for they know not what they're doing. He asks the Father in heaven to forgive them, and maybe that's where we can start if we're not able to do it ourselves. But we have to learn. Because in the Our Father, that prayer we pray a lot, it's kind of dangerous because there's an as in there. I hate as's. Right? Forgive me better than I forgive my friends. That's how I want to pray the prayer, but it doesn't say that. It says, forgive me as I have forgiven them. Okay, so if I have a hard heart, I'm going to hell. If I have a soft heart, if I have a generous heart, if I have a compassionate heart as my God does, then salvation is assured. And we can say with Paul, we have, in fact, run the race, reached the end of our course, and we are waiting to join God in heaven. Let us soften our hearts with a broadness of spirit and openness to the Holy Spirit that guides us to greater and greater truth. For any time that we were so sure of ourselves, as Peter and Paul often were, and found out wrong, right? They didn't dwell on that. They just moved forward where God was directing them. And so if there are things you need to repent of, repent and then move forward in love with God, sharing that love with everyone you meet.